The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
You need that. You need that. No, no, no. Oh, Lawa. You need that.
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
What is that guy's name?
Which guy?
The guy from A New Hope. This is the most powerful station we've...
Whatever. I suggest we use it. I'm blowing the line. I know the line as well as I know my own name.
The station is the ultimate power. The, you know, that one.
Well,
what's
I know.
His name?
I can't remember what his name is. But I know there's a funny anecdote about the fact that Jimmy talked to him and he was none too happy that every radio station in the world uses that line and nobody gives him a penny.
And we're no exception to that rule.
No, we will give him right now half of what we're making.
That, there you go. That's perfect.
It's good to be home.
It is. It's good to have you home. It's good for me to be home. Good for you to be here. We were just like ships passing in the night each week.
Yes.
But finally, it's just you and I.
Feels like it's been a long time. It has been a long time.
It's been weeks. Man, I want to say...
Over a month?
Yeah, over a month since you and I have sat here...
Too long,
in the
Forcecast
studios. Yes, way too long. Well, greetings, Forcecast fans, and welcome to this week's show for July 20th. 2007. I'm Jason, and with me, I can't say as always, with me for this week.
As mostly.
as mostly, in the before time, my best buddy Pete.
I am glad to be back. You know, this chair, I miss this chair. It's a good chair.
You don't have a chair in the remote Forcecast studios like this?
No. I don't really want to go into how I record when we're remote. I'm a little more formal when it's you and I together in the studio, so.
Oh, it's, I don't want to even visualize.
Nor does any of our listeners.
I'm actually in pajamas now. No, I am. Well, I'm in my pajamas. It was a long day today.
It was a long day, but I'm happy to be here.
I am as well. Want to give a quick shout out here to Official Picks, the sponsors, the ones that make this all possible. You can check them out on the web at officialpicks.com, and that is P-I-X, not like P-I-C-K-S or P-I-C-S, Official Picks, P-I-X.com. Check them out for all of your Star Wars autograph and photograph needs. Yeah, you know them, you love them. They're the official autograph vendor for the last couple of celebrations. A fabulous job they did. And they've got a, they're going to be making an appearance at the Sci-Fi Expo. Where is that? That's in Texas, right? In Plano, Texas?
Yes.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. This is going to be October 20th through the 21st. Another convention that we will not make it to. I don't think I'll be there.
That's a little long of a drive at this point, unfortunately.
Texas? Yeah. Yeah, that's even a little long flight from here. A couple hours.
We know how you are with that.
Couple hours too long, let me tell you. But if you're in the area or if you're not afraid to fly, you can check that out. Again, that's the Sci-Fi Expo, and they'll be celebrating the 30th anniversary of Star Wars, Official Picks style. Star Wars Fan Day. Let's see, when is Star Wars Fan Day? Well, it's going to either be the 20th or the 21st, I can tell you that. And what do you do on Star Wars Fan Day? You meet Star Wars actors and special guests, and this has been... This is included as an official fan club breakfast stop. So for those of you who attended the fan club breakfast or have attended them in the past, this is going to be another one of those. And they're very popular.
Sold out very quickly for C4.
Sold out extremely quickly using eBay as a method of selling. And which I didn't understand that at first, and now I do.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what kind of traffic do they think they're going to get? Well, a lot. Shows you what I know.
Yes.
A ton of traffic. But I heard nothing but good things about those breakfasts. You might want to check that out. Also, Star Wars comic artists will be there, and we've introduced you to a lot of those here on the show. So make sure you say hi to them and tell them the Forcecast sent you. And Steve Sansweet, the one, the only, is going to be there updating all the convention goers on the Clone Wars cartoon series and the live-action TV project. we have a little bit of news in those avenues ourselves this
yes.
week, as a matter of fact. Also exclusive official picks merchandise and a whole lot more, so you can check out more info about that at on our show notes. Or, you know what, I'm going to stop saying show notes, because sometimes I get them up and sometimes I don't. Pretty much without fail, most of the stuff that we talk about comes from either Rebel Scum or TheForce.net or StarWars.com, and we know you're readers of those sites anyway, so there you go. So check out more information, and of course you can find all the details at OfficialPicks.com. Well, let's see, we've got a birthday this week, celebrating his 65th birthday just a few days ago. Who do you think? I'll give you a small hint. Huh? Any guesses?
Is it Sean Connery?
No, 65 passed him by a long...
Yes,
he waved bye-bye to 65.
It did go screaming by 12 years ago, in fact.
No, Harrison Ford turned 65 this week. And I have to say, looking at that photo that they released a few weeks ago of him in the hat and then the video of it, did you catch the video?
I did.
Over at IndianaJones.com. He looks fantastic.
Yeah, if I look half as good at 65, well, I can't really say that because I don't look half as good now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm 29, yes. And he looks like 10 times better than I do on my best day.
Yes, I'm shooting for a 10th maybe. If we can get that at 65, I'll be happy.
But isn't that just one of the big crimes, is that men typically get better looking as they get older, and women typically don't?
Yeah.
They don't age quite as well as men.
Well, some cases. You know, it's always hit or miss. But yes,
yeah,
the distinguished,
you know,
look,
I think that's
is what
it.
Really goes
distinguished
for
is
men.
In yeah. More in for men than it is for... I'm not saying it's fair, folks.
No, it's not.
Stop the you know, stop typing the email right now, ladies.
I was trying to save you an email from some of our listeners thinking, how dare you, sir?
Well, you know.
You have that. And if you want to email
us... Look at Harrison
us.
Ford and look at Carrie Fisher. I mean, you figure it out.
Yikes.
Oh.
If you do want to email us, you can do so at podcast@theforce.net. Or if you want to scold Jason in person, you can phone us at 330-871-4TFN or Skype us at username ForceCast.
Yeah, if you want to be part of the show. One of these days, like we mentioned last week, we're going to take live calls. We're going to figure out a way to do this. Well, there are a lot of services that'll do that. You know, TalkShoe does that. A couple of other, like a podcast, a third party, you know, whoever.
Yes.
You know, those people.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I don't know either at this point.
We figure it'll happen.
But yeah, that's the way. You can give us a call, 330-871-4TFN. Or email us at podcast@theforce.net. And really, kind of prefer getting the voicemails, to be honest with you, over the emails.
Yes.
It's just a little more exciting.
It's nice to hear your voices as opposed to our own. And
exactly.
Although we are a little bit behind on those, we are catching up. We should catch up a little bit on this show, but...
We'll try.
We'll try.
But, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder and makes the show grow bigger. So we just keep coming back with bigger and bigger shows, and we're trying to make room for the feedback. Believe me, we are reading them, and we are listening to them, even if we don't get to them on the show. This is going to be like an Indy 4 mini update.
Are there other birthdays?
No other birthdays, but we do have a little bit of Indy news. And, you know, we're trying not to be spoilers on this show. I think it's important that we, you know, maintain a certain sense of... I was on a Harry Potter website earlier this week, and... you know, we're getting close to the release of the 7th book, and as soon as I, you know, hit the enter key and the page started to load, I was like, oh, no, I don't want to see anything. You know, I don't want it to be ruined for me.
Right.
And then there was this little disclaimer saying, hey, don't worry. There are no spoilers on this page. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So
here it is.
So here's
spoiler free.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but we do have some fun facts about the Indy 4 production. You can check these out at theforce.net. Half of Indy 4 is going to be shot on LA sets. You know, in the studio, while 20% is going to be filmed in Hawaii. And that's a pretty big chunk. And I guess that Hawaii is representing a South American rainforest.
Probably a little safer to be in Hawaii than it is to be in
South America, yes. And I guess one of the biggest film action sequences is going to take place in the forest scenes, or within the forest scenery. Harrison Ford doing his own stunts, well, most of them. Can understand.
Hey, at 65, if he does one of them, I'm impressed.
That's right. Plus, you know, there are a lot of like insurance issues to deal with. And I would imagine that no matter how, you know, how tough you are, you're a 65-year-old guy and, you know, you're being insured to do this film.
Right. And you're worth $20 million a picture.
Yeah, right.
They're
yeah.
not going to go, "Okay, we're going to shoot you out of a cannon."
Yeah.
see if you're okay with this.
Right. Right. Or in a volcano in Hawaii. $125 million budget, maybe? I guess we don't have the exact figures on that, but
I find that to be a little bit low.
For Indy 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe.
I think that's a little conservative, you know, but still, if they can make it for $125, that would be great.
Yeah.
That's all the more to line Stephen and George's pockets.
Right, right, right. Right, yeah, you know, that was interesting what you all were talking about on the last show that you did with Jay about the bet between George and Stephen. And I'd like to know, wonder what that, what was it, 2%?
I think it was maybe like 3.5 or something like that.
Oh, so more than 2.
Yeah.
It's like 3 or 3.5%.
Something like that.
You know, and we're talking like, you know, $3 or $4 billion.
You know, I'll take 3.5% of a billion, you know? I'm not going to be greedy.
I mean, is that like a line item, you think, in the Lucasfilm
yes,
budget?
Like Spielberg's jerk.
Yeah. well, they're also saying too. I don't know where this is coming from. I guess this is something that came through on the AP, and you know they're never wrong. But we're to expect the fun and cleverness that we have come to look forward to in the Indiana Jones films.
I would expect nothing less.
Nothing less. Surprised also to find out that Jay Shepard is such a hater of Last Crusade.
Well, you know, I mean, I knew as soon as he said that. That your ears would perk up.
I know, and I told him
the hair
that,
on the back of your neck would stand up.
If you listened to the show last week, I told him, I said, I take issue with that.
I did.
And, you know, actually Raiders is probably the one I'm least familiar with. I've watched the least. I know that's like, oh.
Well, I would say Raiders, Last Crusade first, Raiders, and then Temple of Doom. Temple of Doom
for you, really?
Me.
You yeah. you rate Last Crusade as number one?
Yeah,
your favorite?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, see, it's mine too.
And like you, I just love the chemistry between Harrison Ford and Sean Connery, and that's why I was so disappointed to hear that Sean wasn't going to be able to make it for Indy 4. But
well, but maybe
it just wasn't to be.
That's good. Just leave it at that.
One line. If I can get one line out, that's all you're going to get for the Sean Connery.
But maybe we'll get some good chemistry between Harrison Ford and his co-star in Indy 4, is Shia. I'm going with Shia.
Shia seems to be the way.
Shia LaBeouf. I don't know. I'll figure it out by the time the film's released. Here he is. Here's Shia on David Letterman talking about Harrison Ford.
You're also working with Harrison Ford in the Indiana Jones film?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a man.
I know he's a pilot, Harrison Ford. He flies helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft. Do you ever fly with him at all?
Oh, no. I haven't asked him. You know, Harrison, can I come fly with you?
Right.
It just seems like a... And I don't really know him yet, you know, and it's hard to approach him because he's Harrison Ford. He never becomes like, hey, Harry, what are you doing later?
Yeah.
You know? So I hope we'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, he sounds like a pretty nice kid.
Yeah.
And you know that Harrison Ford once flew his private plane into the old Akron Canton Airport.
I did not know that.
You did not know that?
No.
Yeah, I went to,
did he get off the plane and look around and then just get right back on and say, I'm out of here?
No, let me tell you what he did.
Okay,
he needed to make an emergency landing for fuel at the Akron Canton Airport. And once he got here, he decided to go and have some food at the 356 Bomber Squadron, which is a restaurant here. And so if you go there, there's pictures of him signed and with him and a bunch of the waiters and waitresses and stuff like that. They say he was awesome. And one time my wife and I were in there for breakfast. And I saw these pictures, and of course I'm going crazy. It's like, that's Han Solo. Han Solo was here. Which seat? I want to sit in the Han Solo seat. And they said he was just as nice as he could be. Really nice. And all the cooks were coming out. And he just took time to pose, you know, and take photos with them all. And he was very cool. So
that's good for me to hear.
That is good to hear. So if you're ever in the Akron-Canton area, stop at the 356 Bomber Squadron and maybe you can sit in the Harrison Ford booth. That's it for Indiana Jones 4 for this week. We'll have more next week, I'm sure.
This is Billy D. Williams, and you're listening to the Force Cast.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And your headlines for this week. Now, we do have lots of Celebration Europe news, but that's going to be in its own little section of the show this week. But as far as headlines, well, there's really only one way to announce this. That's right. We're going to start counting down the weeks to Celebration 5, Spring 2009, according to Gen Con. All right, that's enough of that. Spring 2009, according to Gen Con. Those of you who went to Celebration 4, I'm sure you received the email for the survey. Question number 20, pretty interesting. If Celebration 5 was held in the spring of 2009, let's just say, for the sake of argument, it was held in the spring of 2009, but is not held within driving distance of your city, how likely is it that you would attend? Highly likely? Likely? Unlikely? Not very likely? Unsure? I went with highly likely. What'd you go with?
I went with highly likely as well. I think there would actually have to be some sort of arrest or something else along those lines to keep me from there.
A large body of water
yes,
for me.
Yes, well, even that, I'm going.
You're going.
I will take the microphone.
You're
and
flying solo, my friend.
I will fly by myself. Well, I mean, I don't think that they're going to hold it in.
No. We're
okay. Going to do it the
It's going to be in the continental U.S., yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, well.
Well, and there's lots of rumors about this.
Sure.
There's rumors that it's going to be in L.A. again, that they've got a contract with the L.A. Convention Center for, 2009 and 2011. I mean, I've heard those rumors. I've heard that it's going to come back to the East Coast for Celebration 5 and then back out to the West Coast for Celebration 6. So who knows what to believe, but I think you're kidding yourself if you don't think that there's going to be another one of these.
Right. Well, and if you did get the survey, if you were one of the attendees of C4, make sure you fill that out because that is important information for them, not only to improve themselves, but also to gauge fan interest. And we want to make sure that they know that the fan interest is certainly there to have another celebration, at least one more.
Yeah, well, it sat in my inbox for a while. And in my day job, I'm in marketing and PR, and I know how valuable those surveys are.
Right.
You know, we don't just put them, we don't just distribute those for our health. I mean, in fact, we have one for the Forcecast. If you look at the show posts on theforce.net, there's a link for a survey, and we really look at those because it's the only real way to gauge, just how much you're liking what we're doing or how much you want us to change what we're doing and those sorts of things. So by all means, if you did get it, I really recommend that you fill it out. It's not long.
No, it's a fairly short one.
Yeah, it's 20 questions, I think.
I did fairly high marks on everything.
Yeah, I did too. There was, let's see, what was the one that I kind of gave them a little bit of a, it wasn't like I strongly agree or something like that. It was, I think it was on how knowledgeable the Gen Con workers were.
Yeah.
That's the one I think I gave them.
I was a little hard on the Gen Con workers, and I know how difficult it is because they had to train them within a very short period of time and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
the only thing I couldn't get out of my head when I was filling out the survey was the story of Pete Vilmer from Lucasfilm trying to get into the Clone Wars, the very first Clone Wars panel. And the Gen Con guy.
Yeah, didn't you witness that? He was kind of...
Gen Con guy telling him, I'm sorry, I can't let you in. And he's going, no, look, come on. And it's like, those are the guys that we have to make sure are straightened out and taken care of. But You know,
well, you know, there's a flip side to that.
Yeah, well, that's true.
There's a flip side to that because there was the day that I was there for the ILM rock stars, followed by Kirsch, followed by Fanboys, I think it was.
Yes.
And basically, I sat in the last row, and in between, you know, they clear out the room.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in the last row with my, you know, journalist-like notepad. You know, furiously scribbling, you know, please don't kick me out. Please don't kick me out. Please don't kick me out. You know, and they never bothered me because, well, again, you know, powerful and influential member of the Star Wars media. So they weren't going to bother me. They weren't going to kick me out of the room.
Right. Do you know who I am? But apparently they didn't know who Pete was. And you know,
right.
You got to know who that guy
is. But see, I harnessed their the fact that they didn't know that. I mean, I used that to my advantage.
That works in every panel except for the Clone Wars.
Apparently. Pete Vilmers needs to carry himself with a little bit more authorita.
I don't think he has any problem with that. But
if you're listening, Pete, we're just kidding.
We're just giving you our time.
But anyway, so Celebration 5 very well could be a reality in the spring of 2009. Make sure you fill that out to see if we can make a difference and make sure that this does happen. Because if you did experience Celebration 4, I don't know about you, but I'm jonesing to get back.
I'm still on a high from it.
I am too.
2 months later.
Well, we have a little bit of a follow-up on a story that we reported to you a few weeks ago. I know that we had mentioned that there was an impound lot in Florida where they discovered an old land speeder that was part of a Coca-Cola promotion, some sort of a ride, I guess, from back in the 70s or in the 80s.
It's got great headlights.
Anyway, it was discovered by a fella, and he, of course, refurbished it, and it now looks like, it looks like a land speeder. And this is kind of interesting. A Jacksonville production company known as Crown Productions, they saw this this land speeder, and they got permission from the city to borrow it for a new Star Wars pilot series. So
methinks this isn't quite the same thing we may be thinking of.
No. I'm sure that Rick McCallum did not, you know, see this headline and say, "Hey, there's the land speeder for the live action TV series. Forget that one in the archives. Let's use this like bloated, you know, cartoon looking."
Yes, I mean the duct tape on the side and the bad headlights in front.
I mean, it looks okay, but I mean, it looks like something you would expect in an amusement park.
Yeah, it looks like something that's
exaggerated,
made up so that they could drive their land speeder down the road, which is fine. But that's not exactly the concept that we're looking for in the series.
No, but anyway, I guess that this guy, Guy Turcott, he's chief of the Cedar Grove Police Department. He's the one that found this thing behind the building. And so they've fixed it up, and they're guessing now the production company is claiming, or whoever wrote the story is claiming that once the vehicle acquires quote unquote network notoriety, that the land speeder's value will be, you know, six figures.
You're not speaking my language here.
What is network notoriety? I'm wondering. Now, I've gone
it's
to the Crown
buzz term.
Yeah, well, I've gone to the Crown Productions website here,
mm-hmm.
and so far the only project that's on their you know, credits on the website is this Sandrima Rising, the Renaissance Chronicles. Now, I'm not knocking them. I'm sure they're a fine independent company, but you know,
they're not the ones that Lucas are going to track down in order to.
This has nothing to do with the live action TV series.
No, could be a live action TV series. It could show up on Scrubs at some point or something like that, which is a great show, by the way.
Yeah, but, right.
You know,
that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's going to be like some sort of fan made thing,
right?
Or some kind of fanumentary,
something on Sci-Fi.
Yeah. So I don't think that I don't think they're that desperate yet. I don't think that Rick McCallum is going to be pulling props out of the impound lot.
Hey, they flew to Italy to get a volcano shot. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, that's true. That's a little bit different. But all right, how about Comic-Con news? How about Star Wars being on the cover of this year's San Diego Comic-Con program? This book that is given out free to every attendee, Star Wars, made the cover, the full cover. It's not sharing the cover with any of these other celebration things like, let's see, the 100th birthday of Milton Caniff or the 100th birthday of Robert A. Heinlein. No, the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. I don't even know who these people are.
I have no idea.
The only one out of this list I recognized was the 25th anniversary of The Rocketeer, which I love that movie. But no, none of those made the cover, but by golly, the Star Wars 30th anniversary made the cover.
As well it should.
Yeah. Not the 10th anniversary of Buffy, the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. So, and Adam Hughes did the artwork, someone that we've come to know here on the Forcecast.
Yes. And congratulations to Adam for that. And, you know, Star Wars artists are showing up everywhere. And obviously for the Celebration 5 or Celebration 4 and Celebration Europe covers, Randy Martinez lent his talents to them. And Adam is lending his talents to San Diego Comic-Con. So we know that we've got the cream of the crop as far as artists go. And I'm anxious to hear a little bit more about how that came about. Hopefully we can track Adam down at some point and get the inside information about that.
I just got an email from Dan Curto, by the way.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
At least he didn't call you your cell phone.
No, but
or
he
on
may,
my cell phone.
He may be able to join us for our wrap-up of Celebration Europe, which is good because we weren't there. So it'll lend a little bit of credibility.
It does lend a little credibility.
Stop messing with the show notes, by the way.
I'm
You're
sorry.
Killing me.
Sorry. My hands are off.
Oh, Google Notebook. You got to love it. We use Google Notebook for our show notes, folks. We'll give them a little plug. So if you can figure out how to have two people on the same notebook page without it screwing up every time somebody looks at something, please let us know. This is another follow-up to a story that we... this goes back again. This is kind of one of those stories that doesn't die back to, one of the first episodes we did here.
Yeah, almost the very
about
first.
About the Jedi Training Academy. And, of course, I took great umbrance to the fact that they had these ridiculous height requirements to be a,
How dare they
to be a part of the show. But this show, the Star Wars Jedi Training Academy, which started out as a seasonal show during Star Wars weekends, is now going to be a permanent fixture at the Disney MGM Studios. It's going to be over there by the by Star Tours. Now, there's some conversation about where exactly it's going to be and how they're going to get this 140 by 96-foot stage. Over there, is it going to call for the removal of the Ewok Forest or the AT-AT Walker? Who knows? Or does it just lend further credence to the rumors of Star Tours 2? And we got an email. Who did we get this email from? Who's this?
This is from TJ.
TJ.
Who is from Mexico. A valued listener that I got a chance to meet while we were in while we were at C4.
Oh, really? We met TJ?
Mm-hmm.
Did I meet TJ?
I believe so.
I met TJ.
I think so.
Where? Do you remember?
Listen, I can't be responsible for all your wheelings and dealings, all right?
My wheelings and yes. dealings?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's what I was. That's what it was. But TJ emailed us to let us know that that he has sources that say that, yes, the Star Tours 2 thing very well could be happening. I don't think there's a whole lot of disagreement. There's been no official announcement from Disney or Lucasfilm, but there's been so many rumors that they all point to a rebooting of Star Tours or what we're kind of dubbing Star Tours 2. Looking at maybe 2008, 2009 as a potential launch date for this. You know, they're talking about improving the sound, improving the video, maybe HD or maybe 3D or whatever it is.
Right.
So who knows? I have not experienced Star Tours.
I haven't either. I know we've talked about that before, and how everybody goes, oh, you haven't? It's kind of
LA was my first trip out west, man. So
well, and we can go to Florida at some point, but.
I'm
not going to play on our family.
See, I don't even know really
here.
The difference much between Disney World and Disneyland.
But
but now that you're engaged, my wife's best friend, we're going to have to start doing some of those like Flintstones and Rubbles style vacations.
Yes.
You know, like
and thank you very much to you and Dustin and Jay for the congratulations or the half-hearted congratulations, the half-hearted woohoo by Jay and Dustin. of course, veterans of long-term marriages who I don't know whether they were as thrilled for me as I was, but I'm very excited. Yep. And thank you very much to everyone who emailed and said congratulations to me. And
for all you female listeners of the Forcecast that are constantly sending the emails to Pete, cut it out. He's off the market.
Thank you to both of you. I'm pretty sure one of them may have been Jay, but that's all right.
Very well may have. But anyway, so in addition to rumors about Star Tours 2, the Jedi Training Academy, which is basically a stage show where the kids get to come up and play with lightsabers and get trained by apparently very tall Jedi knights, that's going to be a permanent fixture. So, and again, our good friend TJ, who he's got some connections in, I'm not going to say where, but points to a 2008 or 2009 rebooting of Star Tours 2. So, no, excuse me, I misspoke. 2009 or 2010, with the possibility of adding Star Wars weekends to the California park in 08 or 09.
Gotcha.
So, I'm sorry. I misread the email. So thank you, TJ. We'll keep following that story for you. Let's see this Adam Films thing. We want to talk about that, or did we?
Well, we have mentioned it before, but in case you are a fan filmmaker and you're looking to get in with Adam Films, who did the Star Wars Fan Challenge at C4. They are going to be continuing that and keeping that going throughout the year. And they're looking for Women of Star Wars films to be submitted by August 31st, 2007. So, again, that's coming up quick. It's going to be here faster than you can shake a stick at it. That's a terrible, terrible analogy.
it's called a cliche.
Yeah, well, I'm combining cliches, which is something that I do. Just for fun.
You're right. Just create your own.
That's right. I make my own. Shake a stick at something. Very quickly. But anyway, so if you are making a film about the women of Star Wars, you want to make sure that you get in on that as soon as possible, because that's going to be coming up really quickly.
Well, and, you know, again, like all these contests that they do over at Adam Films, I mean, The theme can be interpreted loosely. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be about an existing Star Wars, female Star Wars character. You can create a brand new character. But in either case, one fan movie will be chosen by Adam Films, and it will air on Spike TV in September. So that's, how cool is that?
Not a bad prize, I think.
No, definitely not. It beats having to go through the scrutiny of On the Lot. I don't know if you've seen that show.
I haven't.
This is a little more friendly. You haven't seen that show?
No.
Yeah, you're not really missing anything. But
you know, the whole reality TV thing, I kind of am hit or miss on.
Yeah.
I'm out with On the Lot. I'm in with Shaq's Big Challenge. It's ridiculous.
I've watched that too.
I'm sucked in. I'm on it, by the way.
I laugh, but I yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, how about wearing, since you can get Star Wars designer clothing now, which was covered in a previous episode, how about getting some Darth Vader shoes from Adidas? Now, this is interesting to me. We're giving all kinds of plugs to all the different shows and movies that we watch, by the way. But I'm a big fan of Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
And the character Turtle on there is a big sneaker collector,
mm-hmm.
I'm completely fascinated by the fact that there are like sneaker collectors and sneaker hobbyists. And there's this site called Footurama that is covering this Adidas superstar Darth Vader shoe that might be coming out here or is coming out to commemorate the 30th anniversary. They're saying that all black is back, and this Darth Vader Adidas superstar is probably going to be the next Adidas release that people get most excited about. The shoes feature decent black leather on most of the parts except on the heel, which applies patent with addition of gold print on the tongue, gold lace ring at the top, blah, 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 blah. No word on a release date, but you can clearly see the helmet of Darth Vader on the tongue of the shoe. It has kind of a Vader-esque look, wouldn't you say? Kind of what you might picture the bottom of Vader's boots being like, in a sense.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I would consider the bottom of Vader's boots to have the fireworks display, the hyperspace.
Well, that's the inside. That's the that's the, you know, the padding on the inside.
Oh, okay.
Well. On the back, and they're called, it says Superstar.
Yes.
But what I thought was interesting, if you go to the link over there, Futurama, further down, the guy talks about how it would be cooler if the shoes were called Death Stars. I think that is kind of cooler. Then
yeah, probably cooler
than Superstar. But anyway, so I mean, Star Wars creeping up in just about every facet of our lives now.
You know, and I am a big fan of Adidas shoes, and I wear those as my my basketball shoes. That's my I joke.
Is that your brand?
My official sponsor that they've given me a licensing contract, and that I wear those. You know, I wear that, and I have shorts and a T-shirt. That
you're decked out in all Adidas.
All Adidas.
Really?
Socks and everything.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous and pretty stupid, but I always thought it was kind of funny, you know, because I could say that was my endorsement contract. Like, I'm getting paid to play pickup basketball with, you know, a bunch
co-workers.
Of... Co-workers. A bunch of other 30-pluses. You know, it looks more like, you know...
I got to go to one of those games.
It's not entertainment by any means.
I got into basketball, you know.
I do.
With the finals this year.
I was glad to suck you in a little bit.
I started to get into it. But anyway, with these shoes, now I don't want to confuse you. These aren't the, you know, you go into Target or you go into Kmart and there's, you know, the white tennis shoes for the little kid and it's got like a little puffy sticker of Darth Vader on the side. You know, we all had them. These are, you know, actual what you would call like kind of a designer shoe. So,
well, you know, and they, as much as I would love to wear a Star Wars / Adidas shoe for basketball, they don't look like the style that I need to keep my ankles from rolling for the 730th time. So I'm going to pass on those, but they are very cool. And I was glad to see that my official sponsor, Adidas, is in on the Star Wars bit.
That's good to know. Maybe you'll get, since, you know, they're your official sponsor, that you'll get like a complimentary pair. And you can give them to me because I don't have to worry about my ankles rolling. Because I don't do anything foolish at my age. I don't go jumping around like a fool now.
Yeah.
Got to learn. You're not young anymore.
Glory days.
Hey, speaking of glory days, how about the soap opera nighttime debut of Billy Dee Williams? Oh, yes. Yes, he made his debut on General Hospital's spinoff show, Night Shift. Wasn't that the name of the Baywatch spinoff? Baywatch Nights. Okay, it was Baywatch Nights, not
yeah.
Night Shift. Night Shift was a movie with, who was that? The Fonz. Wasn't the Fonz? Michael Keaton and the Fonz. Who's the Fonz?
Arthur Fonzarelli.
Well, no.
No, Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler. Wasn't that the name of the movie? Night Shift?
I don't know.
Worked at the morgue or something?
It was seen by like 8 people, so I don't think they're doing any copyright infringement at this point.
All right, this is the tangent show, but like they all are. But
I was going to say, aren't they all?
They are. Here is Billy Dee. We got a couple of clips here. As his character, Toussaint. You can laugh. Come on, it's all right. You can laugh.
Like, Toussaint, is that a family name?
Not to be confused with his brother, Croissant.
Yes.
All right, here he is, Billy Dee as Toussaint. In just a second.
Quit on.
All right. Had a little technical difficulty. I really mean it this time, Billy Dee as Toussaint.
Easy there. You have to be gentle, or she'll decide to quit on you.
That's what my girlfriend said.
Oh, it's pure gold. Every time the guy opens his mouth.
Well, and he can't say anything without it seeming sexual.
No.
I mean, Billy Dee could read the phone book and it would sound like a porn. You know, it's just going to. But my gosh, who writes this dialogue?
Oh, great.
Oh, all right. We've got another one. Another clip of Billy Dee on Night Shift here, the spinoff of General Hospital. We're going to have to play these more than once, I think. Here we go.
You finally came back.
This is the first time I've been here tonight.
I was expecting someone else.
Oh, me too. They said to clean out this room because a patient was sent to the morgue.
Yeah, I guess it could have been. Let me ask you, what are the odds of me stepping into an exploding ambulance on my first day back in the ER?
Maybe you just got lucky.
It wasn't nearly as good as the first one.
No.
In fact, I think we need to hear the first one again.
Easy, easy there. You have to be gentle, or she'll decide to quit on you.
That's what my girlfriend said.
Even the
right,
moan.
Now, we'll try to put these in context for you. The first one is, again, the character of Toussaint, and he's actually a janitor on the show, but he's kind of the sage. He's sort of the Obi-Wan of the hospital. Apparently, he was a doctor at one time, and you know he got undoctored, and so
because that of course makes sense in this world,
right, and we're talking about General Hospital here. So they kept him around as the janitor again, very believable.
Mm-hmm.
So in that first clip, that may happen
to me at my current job. Well, we can't fire you, but we'll make you the janitor.
So they're helping Billy D is helping another hospital worker there use the elevator. And that's what they're referring to. Easy. Yes. Got to be gentle.
Because that's the type of conversation I have when I'm in any elevator.
And the other clip was just Billy D enters the hospital room with a mop.
Well, and that's the thing is you hear that in the background at the beginning and like, what is he doing? It's like... That was another bad impression of Billy D with a mop. we are stretching to props now.
Right. Well, we're going to do... we've got a few more minutes before we can get Dan Curto on the line here. But what we're going to do is just sort of cover a little bit of Celebration Europe. Now, again, we weren't there, so we'll try to do our best to provide you with at least the adequate coverage for what we can give you. That's a great sell. Stay tuned for that.
Yes.
Adequate coverage. But if you're looking for really great coverage, make sure you go over to rebelscum.com. Again, our own Dan Curto was there and kind of put you. We lived vicariously through Dan for those couple of days, and it sounds like, well, they had a lot of fun there in Europe. So here we go.
Bit of a little band.
Star Wars Celebration.
So you like London?
Double-decker buses, bobbies, little pubs.
There's Big Ben. There's Piccadilly Circus.
All right, like I said, adequate coverage coming your way. No, we want to run down some of the reports that have come out of Celebration Europe, some pretty exciting news along the lines of the TV series and things like that. And I got to give props to StarWars.com, continuing with their excellent coverage, getting video up right away, getting audio up right away of the events that that unfolded there at Celebration Europe. Starting with the opening ceremonies. Again, this is Celebration Europe at London's Excel Center. Kicked off on Friday outside. All kinds of things going on. Steve Sansweet introducing Jerome Blake, Warwick Davis, and then, of course, Mark Hamill and Ian McDiarmid, who they refer to at StarWars.com as the unmatchable Ian McDiarmid. And it sounds like Ian was not a disappointment. I think people were really excited to see him. We got a lot of Mark Hamill news, but here's a clip of Ian McDiarmid at the opening ceremonies.
It's very good to be here. 30 years of Star Wars. When I was a little over 30, I got a telephone call from my agent who said George Lucas would like to see you and he'll send the car. I looked out of my window and the car had already arrived. That's how they do things on Star Wars. I got in the car, I went to Elstree, we had a very brief chat. I remember when I was leaving, going out of the door, George said, "Great nose." And I sort of felt I might be in with a chance. And when I got home, the phone was ringing again. It was my agent who said, "You've got the part." And I said, "Well, that's great. What's the part?" And he said, "Oh, questions. Anyway, he looked through his notes and he said, "It's something called the Emperor of the Universe." So I said, "Oh, well, I guess we'll be doing it then." And that's how it all started. And a few weeks later, I was in the makeup chair, and the whole of my face disappeared, except for one feature. Yes, you've guessed it. the nose.
It's really cool to hear Ian talk about the, you know, his entrance into the Star Wars universe, and seemed very at ease and seemed very much wanting to be there. As I just hit my face on the microphone.
Take that.
Take that, microphone. No, I mean, it sounded great. If you go over to the StarWars.com site, you can get onto their blog, which has a video, like a little short clips of different things that happened during the opening ceremonies. And Ian actually did his Palpatine voice for them.
So cool.
Very cool. Said something about, this is Friday the 13th. Something like that.
Did he make any mention of meeting you in New York?
No, no. But I was expecting him to say, you know, this reminds me. I was doing the Faith Healer in New York. Matinee, just like any other. And I turned the corner, and there it was. but no, alas, I apparently was not that memorable.
Well, that's right.
But Rick McCallum was also there. Rick McCallum, who did a Q&A with Warwick Davis. You know Rick. Very very colorful guy. Colorful language.
Always fun to hear from him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And he's just... He's not one of those guys that, even though he's in with the in crowd, so to speak, he's very much a fan. And... you can tell he really enjoys the fans.
Yes.
I think that's one of the things I like about Rick so much. But over at RebelScum.com, they have a great write-up, pretty much a chronology of everything that was talked about. Yeah. Of course, the big question, what's the status of the live-action TV series? Well, we've got that right here.
We've met a whole bunch of writers from literally all over the world. We have Australia left. That's the last place we're going to go and meet some people. And we're hoping to put up, get a group of six or seven writers ready sometime between September and December. We'll get everybody together, we'll make the final choice, and then we'll start doing the story outlines. And as I said, I think I've said before, it's a much darker, much more character-based series, and much more adult. And we're hoping that it'll go on for up to 400 episodes. As long
400
as 400.
That's going to 300.
I know.
400 episodes.
That sounds good to me.
Well, and what you don't hear from that clip, there was a follow-up question that was asked by a fan saying, really, 400 episodes? And he said, yes, but, you know, we're not talking necessarily about all one series. There may be, you know, several different series. Let's see if I can find the exact quote. Yeah, 400 episodes, and again, I'm not finding it. Where was it? Oh, here it is. Yes. A fan asked, you know, really 400 episodes? That seems too good to be true. But he said that, you know, we're talking about maybe a unique story for a couple of different series. And I think you and I, we had talked about that. That,
sure.
That would probably be the way to go with it. Or you do kind of an X-Files-style storytelling where you have... you know, a central mythology throughout the series, but you can do sort of isolated character study episodes too, that don't necessarily have to relate back to the, you know, again, the overall mythology. So a lot of different ways to skin this. Very excited to hear that it's darker. Very excited to hear that it's more serious in its tone. I think that that is what we've all really wanted to hear. I think it's what we kind of expected from the prequels. Didn't get that really until episode 3, that tone.
Right.
And I think that really the folks at Lucasfilm, and George in particular, understands that the Star Wars universe and the methods of getting the stories out to folks is so vast and so varied that you can do maybe a little grown-up TV series, maybe you can do a more... you know, cartoon for the tweeners. Maybe you could even do... I still would like to see a Galactic Heroes cartoon.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool.
I know you would. I'm going to discuss that right now.
I know you would. but maybe that's not the answer. But I think that you know, you can at least concede the point that there's different ways to get to get this out there.
Yeah, there's ways to attack it, and I think they've gotten to the point where they're going through all the avenues that they have available, and one way or the other, they're going to tell the story that they want to tell.
Some facts that you might not have known about Rick McCallum. I did not know that he started his career as a stuntman, and that's how he met George Lucas, and they started talking about the Young Indy series way back when.
Was he a stuntman for Harrison Ford? That's what I want to know, because they have similar hair.
Why are you paying attention to either one of their hair? We've already discussed that we both have man crushes on Harrison Ford.
Listen, there's something to be said about nice hair. That's all I'm going to say.
You have hair envy?
Yes.
But anyway, so that's where they met. And the question was asked by Warwick if there was anybody in particular that he was fond of in the making the prequels. And he said that he recently received a postcard from Ewan McGregor, who, as we know, is motorbiking through Africa.
Of course he is.
And that he had spoken to Ian McDiarmid recently, which I would imagine he had, being that they were both at Celebration Europe. But he hadn't heard from Natalie Portman. We've got more Natalie Portman news coming up in just a bit. But so, let's see. But the stuff that you really want to know about, okay, we covered the TV series. How about Indiana Jones on DVD? We've got the first set of DVDs October 13th. So, I mean, he's nailing down a date. So,
I'm ready.
The second in January and more to follow after, of course, Indy 4. So they want to, I think they're going to be, you know, massaging this Indy 4 promo period of time with these releases of these DVDs. I would say probably by October, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that we see a teaser trailer for Indy 4. By January, we should see a full-blown trailer if it follows a similar template to the Star Wars prequels.
Right.
So it makes sense that the DVDs will be timed to that. When asked about what was your favorite episode to produce, he says episode 3, because it was more character-driven. The people were older, and it brought closure to the prequels and answered a lot of the questions of the original trilogies. This is interesting. The question was asked, why not use authors and writers of the Star Wars books and comics for the live-action TV series? He said, yes, they will be looked at as part of the final process in September.
Very cool.
Big cheers from the audience, which... it's good that they reacted that way, because that shows Rick that, you know what, even though we've read the comics, we've read the books, we'd love to see some of these elements or some of these plot lines, you know, show up in the cartoon or the live action TV series. I mean, you look at, say, like Batman the Animated Series or the X-Men cartoon. It was always fun to see some of those story arcs appear, or the Spider-Man
revisited, or
brought to life. I mean. The comic's the comic. How cool is it to see, you know, to see it brought to life, you know, in a live action TV series, or at least, you know, characters from it or elements from it. So
sure, absolutely,
That would be neat. How about 3D? Now we know that Star Wars in 3D was shown in Spain at what was the name of that convention that our good buddy David went to?
It's Danny and...
Danny. Boy, I am...
you're just tripping over
I'm
everything.
I'm batting
right
1,000
here.
Tonight, baby.
I'm not sure exactly. I think he just saw it.
I know
He
Danny.
Just showed it for everybody, but...
Daniel.
Daniel.
Or Daniel.
Yeah.
Maverick Magazine. I know who I'm talking about.
We know you know who you're talking
what
about.
What did I say? David?
Sure. Yeah, David. Steve. I don't know. Bob.
Lem. But anyway, they showed it at in Spain. And, of course, we read Danielle's reaction to it. It was... fantastic. And the question was asked, why can't you show it here? And just they weren't able to set it up. So
well, and that's kind of the problem with the 3D thing, is that it does rely on a different technology than is
right.
just standard for the films as they are right now. So that's what's been slow to bring them to the forefront, I guess, is what they say.
Right. Absolutely. Also, let's see, he does go on to say, though, in response to the 3D footage, that he doesn't feel that 3D is the ultimate cinema format, but will certainly help to get audiences back in the seats.
That surprised me. I was wondering what the ultimate format would be if it's not 3D.
Well, I have a little theory on that, but I think that what we're seeing here is, you know, a guy like McCallum, he's 10 years out on anybody else,
right?
You know, and if the
he's in the biz,
yeah. Well, if the theaters are starting to get to the point where yes, they're going to adopt 3D, then that means that, you know, George and McCallum, they're talking about something else.
Sure.
You know, by the time technology becomes mainstream for everybody else, my hunch is that he's probably referring to a more immersive kind of experience where the film is actually kind of surrounding you.
Right.
Now, how that would work, I don't know. I don't know if we're talking about, you know, full-on holograms, but I have heard that in some of the early demos of the DVD, of the HD DVD format, there was the ability to upload a photo of yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
And superimpose your face or your skin on a character in the film.
Hmm.
That was one of the big selling points. So, who knows? Maybe he's referring to something like that. As far as HD goes, the question was asked about when will Star Wars and HD DVD be available. And he said basically when the studios get done fighting over this format. And if it doesn't end soon, there's a chance that they'd be willing to look at direct downloads.
Hmm.
Which I think is excellent. I think that would be so great for Lucas to say, you know what? I don't want either one of you formats, one of these formats. We're just going to do direct downloads and offer it that way. I don't care if it takes me a week to download it. I'll do it.
Sure.
So I think that would be fantastic. It would send a great that would really send a message to these studios that are screwing around and can't get their act together with this stuff. And I know that there's pros and cons on both sides. And, you know, it's not that the HD DVD camp or the Blu-ray camp is right, but they don't have the consumer in mind, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Getting back to the live-action TV series, how about filming? And he says, yeah, casting would begin in June 2008, and it will be shot in Sydney, Australia. Now, I know I said earlier that I would not fly over water. But should production begin on the Star Wars live action TV series, and should they decide that they would like to have some coverage, perhaps a set visit, if you will, by the Force Cast team, even though we're talking like a 18-hour flight or whatever it is, I think I'd have to do it. I'd have to do it.
You're a good soul.
But I would definitely have to be completely knocked out. And I don't mean slightly knocked out. I mean unconscious.
Yeah, we know.
For the 18 hours. So that's pretty much it. There's the full audio is available at StarWars.com, so make sure you check that out with Rick McCallum. He never disappoints. He always gives us the dirt. If only he were in charge of the cartoon, we might have found out more. Celebration.
Well,
Ford.
We know that Dave tried.
He'd have told that female producer what for. Let me tell you. He just said, these are my peeps out here. I'm going to tell them. Well, in addition to Rick McCallum being at Celebration Europe, there was also Mark Hamill, the elusive Mark Hamill.
Yes.
And there's some good coverage of Mark's appearance in London. And the Sun, which is a UK newspaper, had a great article where they got Mark Hamill and Dave Prowse together again, father and son united, to talk about their experience in making the Star Wars films. So I think we've got a little clip of that.
Hi, I'm Dave Prowse. I was Darth Vader in the first three Star Wars movies, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. I am the real Darth Vader.
Hey, look, people think I'm really tall. I'm on my tiptoes. Am I framed down on my feet? You don't see I'm standing on my tiptoes?
I really have no idea what was going on there.
That was that was.
But if you look at the photos that are posted over at the Sun Online, it looks like Dave and Mark are. That's my dog, by the way.
He hasn't made an appearance in a while.
He hasn't.
Make sure
so he does. He was definitely due. But if you look at the photos, you can see that clearly they were making up for lost time. There's an embrace, and it looks very all right. Continue with this.
Okay, it does look very interesting that they've kind of collapsed around each other, and it looked like they're having great fun. So it was good to see that those two had gotten together, and who knows how long it's been since they had seen each other. You know, at one point, Dave Prowse talks about how he hadn't talked to George Lucas since 1983, so who knows how long it's been since he talked to Mark Hamill. So I'm glad that they got those together and they caught that moment. And there's some very interesting other things that came out of that. But, you know, it was very good that Mark and David were both there. But, you know, it was after the initial shock of not having been.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Mark and David, you know.
I had to go silence the mutt.
The initial, shock of Celebration Europe getting Mark Hamill and him not coming to C4, we were all very disappointed in that. But after that, I've gotten to the point now where that's gone, and I'm to the point now where I'm just glad that he's doing anything that has anything to do with Star Wars. I'm just glad to see that Mark Hamill is getting out and is embracing.
He's getting amongst us
a little bit, even if it's a small dose of what Star Wars is and what Star Wars means to not only him, but to all of us. It's just good to see that he's out there trying to do
something.
Oh,
he's out there. If you talk to Danny L, he says, he's out
well,
there.
He may, hey.
Like Kramer.
Yeah.
But this article over at The Sun Online talks about how their paths have only crossed twice since filming Jedi in 1983.
Well, that's kind of what I talked about. I didn't really grab that quote, but I said, who knows how long it's been since they've seen each other. So
well, it's been a while, and they've only seen each other twice since 1983. But Mark goes on to talk about, well, they talk a little bit about, you know, why Darth Vader is so popular, and yeah, it's the mask, and he's scary. Ooh. But this is where it kind of gets interesting. He's talking about the prequels, and he said that Natalie Portman, Queen Amidala, is even sexier than his famous co-star, Carrie Fisher. He says, nothing against Carrie, because I had a great crush on her as well. There's just something about Natalie's stilted dialogue. In the modern-day films, you can totally relate to her. Then she's got that Queenie thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
She's gorgeous and one of the great beauties of the world. Well, there you go. That's your mother you're talking about. First, you're trying to make it with your sister, and now you're coming on to your mom. This guy doesn't stop. All right. But anyway, so we've got the seal of approval on Natalie Portman by Mark Hamill. Now this is kind of cool too. They bring this out. We've mentioned this before. You know, there's this stigma that's attached to actors that do these conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that they're losers, or oh, that they they're washed up and blah blah blah. And I like that Mark Hamill kind of speaks to that a little bit here, where he says, "Look, you know what? When you're financially solvent, you do projects that you want to do."
Mm-hmm.
And you're not too concerned about whether they're successful or not, pretty much. And so, I mean, that's why he's, you know, working on this Black Pearl film. He continues to do voice work for animation. Fantastic performances in the Batman animated TV series as the Joker. He's done numerous other, more than 700 cartoons, according to this article.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's been busy. Obviously, he didn't make it to Celebration 4. Maybe he's working on some more Batman animated. I don't know. The reason I bring that up is because we got an email. Might as well talk about it now. We got an email. Let's see. Where's it at here? Let's see if I can find it. Yeah. Are you doing something to the notebook page?
I'm not
having
doing
all
anything.
Kinds of problems with this today.
I'm just turning it off while you find that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, nothing's working right now. Nothing. Anyway, we got an email saying that last week I was being rude, or basically, well, I was being rude.
Not taking into consideration the feelings of the fans at Celebration Europe.
Yeah, saying that I was moaning about the fact that they were getting things that we didn't, and I should have just been happy for them. And I distinctly remember saying that we are happy for them. But
well, and again, I will say that in my reactions, I was kind of a little not so happy. And I wasn't saying I wasn't happy for them. I was just upset with the Hamill camp that they hadn't come to Celebration 4. But I do have to say that I, again, after having gotten past that initial shock, I am now just happy that he is doing anything that has anything to do with Star Wars, because we need to keep that alive. We need to keep that going.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see. What else do we have about Mark Hamill? Well, he claims, I'll tell you the one thing. He claims to only have seen the Star Wars films one time, and that he does not like to watch his work, you know, once it's all said and done.
Well, so I find that hard to believe, and the only reason I find that hard to believe is
do
that,
you find it hard to believe?
Yeah, well, yes. Is that if you own a television, you almost by default have to have seen Star Wars at least twice. Because well, for the last 30 years, it has been a staple on whether it be pay-per-view or, you know, whatever. Some sort of, there's been some sort of Star Wars incarnation on television for the last 30 years. So you can't just, maybe he's watched it only all the way through only once or certain things just once. But I have to believe that just by accident, he would have seen it. But then again, there are people that I know that haven't seen the films at all, so maybe I
know, they're weird. People are crazy.
Yeah, we can talk bad about them because we know they're not
they're
listening
not listening
to the show.
Right. Ah, they're weird.
Yes.
No, but I mean that is what he's claiming. We've got a clip from his panel presentation at Celebration Europe. Here he is, Mark Hamill.
My question is, if George Lucas announced Episode 7 and asked you to star in it, would you do so?
Well, hypothetically speaking, because I know what you're thinking of, he asked me way back when that you want to be in the third trilogy. Because it was four trilogies pared down to nine when I was over there in the desert, because yeah, there used to be 12, but I cut down to nine. And I want you to be in one of the third. And I said, what for? He goes, well, because you'll be as old as Obi-Wan and you can hand Excalibur down to the new young hope. And I go, what are you talking about? When will this be? He goes, like 2011. Okay, this is 1976, okay? So what is that, 35 years in the future? I defy anyone in the audience to mentally add 35 years to your age right now and not shudder. You know what I mean? Yikes. Even if you're 10, that makes you 44. So, or whatever the math is. Math's not my free thing. Carry the one. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? So I'm like humoring, going, yeah, sure, I'll be in the next one. I like having the Josh, you know, all lined up at the turn of the century. But I didn't take it seriously. I mean, I'd do anything for George, you know? I'd probably go up and do light yard work for him if he asked me.
See what we missed?
Yes.
And you wonder why I'm bitter.
And that courtesy of Daniel Franco from Maverick Magazine.
Yes, thank you.
Audio. He
not David.
Us. No, he grabbed us a lot, so we're very appreciative of that. But very funny that you think about that and you think, oh, well, you know, 30 years to your life, that's not that big a deal. And then I think about it now and go, That's quite
horrifying.
A big deal. Yes.
It's horrifying.
Yes. Again, we're back to me being 65 and just praying that I'm possibly look a tenth as good as Harrison Ford does.
I'm thinking more like Grandpa Simpson. But, you know, this every time this comes up, and it comes up once in a while, this mythical third trilogy, I'd love to see it. I would love to see it. I don't think that it's going to happen. I really don't believe it. It would be awfully exciting to see some kind of a cameo into the future, kind of, not a flashback, but a, you know, flash forward and maybe in the television series about an aged Luke Skywalker or something, you know, with a cameo by Mark Hamill. It'd just be very, very cool.
Yeah.
And you know what? With guys like Dave Filoni and Rick McCallum at the helm and really trying to give the fans what they want with these projects, who knows?
It may
happen. We may see it. Well, Mark Hamill met the real Luke Skywalker, using the term loosely.
But, I was gonna say, that's kind of a misnomer.
Luke K. Okay, but he goes by literally Luke Skywalker. He's one of the biggest collectors in the UK of Star Wars memorabilia. And before being accosted by the security, he was able to at least shout to Mark Hamill that he was Luke Skywalker. And Mark, you know, said, "Hey," told the security guards to get back, and they spoke for a couple minutes. And apparently, this fella, Luke Skywalker, or Luke K. has, again, a huge collection, maybe like the Steve Sand suite of the UK, you might picture. I don't know if it's quite that to that extent, but at any rate, he had the original X-Wing helmet that Luke wore, in, or Mark, Mark wore in A New Hope, and so he got him to sign that.
Oh, very cool.
And, he, you know, said that Mark was just great, just great. And so that's pretty cool. He, the guy was really excited. You know, this was a lifelong dream come true. And I am, you know, and all kidding aside, honestly, I'm delighted for the folks at Celebration Europe because, as I said last week, I really thought that Celebration Europe was developing to be kind of a dud. And from folks that we've talked to, and we're going to talk to Dan Crudo here in a minute, it sounds like they had a fantastic time.
Yes.
A fantastic time. We mentioned Danielle. From Maverick Magazine, he sent us his thoughts on the Celebration Europe. Pete, you want to share some of those?
Sure. you know, he just had a lot of really good things to say about, you know, just what was going on and how it was smaller than C4, but it was almost a little more grandiose. From looking at the photos, I would tend to agree with that. And
they had a lot of things that we didn't. I mean, it was for me, I was kind of expecting them to just transplant Celebration
right.
4, you know, into a different building. And it's not like that at all. It was different event producers aside from Lucasfilm. It wasn't a Gen Con event.
Right.
It wasn't Official Picks doing the autograph hall. So it was really a completely different event.
Right. And from what he said, you know, a couple of things that he talked about were the guests seemed like they were having a better time. The shopping area was much smaller, but was very nicely designed. There was a big AT-AT, a pod racer, a snow trooper with a cannon, a speeder bike, a snow trooper that didn't have a cannon, a real size diorama, the inside of the Millennium Falcon, the Dejerik table, Dagobah, the Tantive IV corridor.
See, all that stuff sounds really cool.
Yeah,
like the environment stuff.
Yeah, the interactive
stuff really
cool. Really sounds
cool. We got silk backdrops.
Yeah. Yes, that we snuck up on and well, we'll leave that for something else. But anyway,
whenever Jay Shepard gets his video up.
Right. Yes. I need to, you know, we're waiting for the director's cut. I kind of feel like, you know, Kyle Newman, you know, you just keep pushing back that release date. keep pushing it back, but we're expecting something huge.
When yes, we are.
Eventually comes
Come
out.
On,
so,
Jay.
Daniel talks about, you know, how the opening was outdoors, which I thought was really cool. I thought it was great to have that outside and you know, have people, you know, just kind of enjoying things. And they actually
played Episode 4.
Yeah, and they actually had Episode 4 afterwards, which was great. You know, Rick McCallum was a highlight that of his, you know, and Daniel got to meet him, which was great. And he said he was great with the fans. And he said he was really looking forward to it. He said he had his conference, and after that, he was along the Excel just taking pictures with fans. There were some bodyguards telling him to go, and he begged them to let him take one last picture with one fan, which is just ultimately cool.
That's great.
That's so great. And it's so good to hear stuff like that. And
it's funny, you don't have to be an actor to be like a Star Wars celeb.
No. And in fact, at this point, some of the behind-the-scenes people have even taken on more of a celebrity status than some of
the ones with personalities like Rick McCallum definitely have.
Yeah. And, you know, people
they
that have done
out.
Something great for the franchise like Ben Burtt and Ralph McQuarrie, of course, and, you know, Joe Johnston and all those people that have done something that really made the imprint, they've achieved that celebrity status, all the ILM guys and everything like that. So, Daniel said that there was a lot of stuff that went on. The collector's panels seemed like they were a great success over there as well. There's the Lucasfilm Archives wasn't quite as extensive, but there was another huge exhibit at the nearby County Hall. They had a real size Naboo starfighter, a real size Zam Wessel speeder, an Anakin and Sebulba pod racer, carbonite Han Solo, Emperor's Throne, Boosh costume, Darth Maul, Qui-Gon Jinn, all that kind of stuff.
I'd like to see that Emperor's Throne. That's kind of cool.
It sounds like they really went to a great deal of trouble to make it as interactive as possible. And, of course, the one thing that they had that Celebration 3 had, but Celebration 4 did not have and Celebration Europe did have, was Warwick Davis. And I remember you and I going to Celebration 3 and talking about how great Warwick Davis was on stage and how much of a presence he had while he was there and how you even said at one point he could do his own talk show.
Oh, yeah.
And he is. He's a great host.
He's the Johnny Carson of Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's a great interviewer. His own fandom comes through. And I mean, not taking anything away from Jay, the guy. Jay is fine. Jay does a great job.
He does a very good job.
Particularly with things like Star Wars Celebrity, where it's, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, he's an entertainer.
Yes.
And, but for the straight up interviews, I say look no further than Warwick Davis. And maybe things just didn't work out. And I know that Anthony Daniels did some of the work in Celebration 2, some of the interviewing. He interviewed Hayden Christensen, and the clips that I've heard of that are fantastic. So there's some other folks out there, you know. Now, again, not taking anything away from Jay, but maybe they could sort of spread things around. But then again, you know, Anthony Daniels was his butt was glued to the seat signing autographs for the fans for 4 days or whatever it was. So, you know, there's always going to be you take one, you get one thing, you're going to take something else, but...
So it sounds like, to me, from Daniel's account, and we have a couple other accounts as well that we'll get to a little bit later, but that although it may not have been as physically big as Celebration 4, it really went to the nines to make sure that anybody who went there had a great time and really enjoyed what was going on. And I'm, you know... very happy, as we've talked about. We're very happy that it was something that could be shared with the people across the pond because it's not easy to get from one continent to another. And, you know, we need to make sure that because there is a huge following of Star Wars in Europe, and they're just as rabid of fans as there are in the U.S., and they need to be catered to once in a while.
I found it, by the way. I found the email.
Okay.
The one I was alluding to earlier, Steve from the U.K., and I take this. This is fine. Hey, guys. Firstly, I hope you're both well, and it's nice to hear Jason again, although Pete has done a great job in his absence. Props.
Thank you.
Waiting for the other shoe to drop. Bam! Here it drops. Now, I don't wish to go and have a moan, but I must feel I have to comment on your comments on the Force Cast on July 13th. I'd been looking forward to going to Celebration Europe for some time, and now it's been and gone. I wasn't disappointed, but I was disappointed by your comments about Mark Hamill and the fact that there was a lot of talk of... them and us regarding Celebration 4 and Celebration Europe. For example, that they have this, we had that. All I know is that I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and you're all Star Wars fans, and that's that. So please don't go on and moan about the fact that he did not make C4. I'm sorry he was not there, but don't sit there and have a go because he was at Celebration Europe. Speaking for myself, I waited to see Mark, and when I met him, he was very nice and chatty and was happy to take time with everyone. My last comment on this is also whatever he's doing that's not with Star Wars, give him a break. He's allowed to have other projects. Point taken, Steve, from the UK. Didn't mean to offend.
No, that certainly wasn't our intent, and it was.
Well, you weren't even there.
No,
so you take no responsibility.
Yes,
for this.
I totally throw this on you. You're a jerk, and no, I.
Well, it's impossible
to not
compare the shows.
I had some of the same feelings, and it was more a selfish reaction on my part.
Of course, it's totally selfish.
Well, geez, how come that guy has that toy and I don't have it?
That's right. You're absolutely right. It was selfish, and yeah. I'm still being selfish. I wish it was us.
I wish it was both of us.
There you go. That's the way to look at it. No, I actually, everyone that we've talked to says that Celebration Europe was great. We're going to have Dan Curto here in just a moment. He'll be joining us, and we'll get his thoughts on which was the better show. His answer may surprise you. So let's see if we can actually get him on the line right now. Okay, Dan, can you hear us?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, we've got RebelScum.com and ForceCast contributor Dan Curto to tell us all about Celebration Europe. Now, Dan, Pete and I were just talking about it. We kind of did the rundown of all of the big things, some of the big news, the big events out of Celebration Europe, like the Rick McCollum panel, the fact that Mark Hamill was there, the fact that Ian McDiarmid was there, showing Star Wars on the big screen outside, all this stuff. Before we get into the specifics, looking back on Celebration Europe, what sticks in your mind the most?
Well, I tell you, I've been to Celebration 2, 3, 4 in Europe, and I know you guys might not like hearing this, but this was the most fun that I've had at a Celebration.
Well, what made what made it so great?
Well, you know, the people, really. They were very happy to meet us, very happy to have Lucasfilm come over and have a celebration in the UK. And everybody was just really cool to meet and talk to. And not that they're not at other celebrations, but I think I just got to see more of this one because we were actually in the center of the hallway. I mean, if you remember from Celebration 4, we were sort of locked off in the corner.
Right.
This time we're right in the middle of the show, and you'll see pictures of our Rebel Scum booth. It's quite comical.
So Rebel Scum had a booth.
Rebel Scum had a booth, yeah. They were in the Fanforce section of Celebration Europe, and we had a big Rebel Scum banner, and we were giving out pins and patches to all the fans, but, oh, wait, no, we weren't, because they never actually arrived.
Oh, no.
So Jeremy had a stroke of genius and found a little placard sign that they just, you know, stick in a queue, you know, the kind of thing you just stick up there, and it says, you know, 10 minutes to whatever, and had a dry erase board. So he takes it, and he writes on it, and he says, "I assure you, we are rebelscum.com." If anybody's familiar with the movie Clerks, you'll get that reference.
Well, so...
And actually, people came by and saw that and said, "Oh, that's great. I love it."
Well, so what you're saying, I think, is, too, that maybe it was the fact that this was so new for them. They finally got a convention of their own, an official, you know, Lucasfilm-endorsed convention. And maybe it was just like the enthusiasm, the buildup over years of not getting one of these.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it was smaller than some of the other celebrations, but it seemed to me that there was a lot more going on. Like on a daily basis, there was a lot of stuff happening, but we had a couple people at the booth that were running. I mean, someone had to be there at all times, of course, but there was enough of a staggered schedule so that somebody could go cover it, and somebody could stay posting, somebody could stay shooting, whatever needed to be done. We really worked well together as a team. I think that came across. We had some internet connection problems that I can get into a little bit later, but. It really worked out pretty well for that type of thing.
Well, let's try to break it down a little bit. Kicking off things with the opening ceremonies, how was it? Did it have a little more of a little more excitement maybe than the one at Celebration 4?
Well, it wasn't as chaotic. Now, admittedly, we did get there a little bit late because we were cleaning out the booth and they were, you know, The opening ceremony started just as the convention center was closing. So we're packing everything up for the night, you know, locking it down. And as we're starting to leave, we walk past the outside arena where they had it. Oh, yeah, the opening ceremony was outside this year. That was pretty interesting.
Hmm.
So when we were walking by, Warwick Davis and Steve Sansweet were on the stage, and they were giving their presentation. So one of us stayed behind on the floor, or out on the ground outside to listen to it and take pictures, and the rest of us went up to our hotel room because our hotel room faced this open arena area, right?
Right.
So we're all leaning out the window taking pictures and trying to do live coverage as the event was going on. Sansweet came out.
And you could hear everything all right.
We could hear everything. Oh, yeah, they had big, giant speakers blasting. They had the big screen going.
Wow.
But... Our live coverage kind of got cut short, and it was my fault.
You didn't pay the bill?
Because there's this little power converter thing that you're supposed to have when you go over to London.
Yeah.
And I blew a fuse in our hotel room.
Because you were trying to, because the outlets are different over there.
Yeah, our live coverage got interrupted until we were able to restore that. So, whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
But it was really neat because everybody kept talking, and because it was outside and we're so close to the airport, we would have planes flying overhead. Like every few minutes, there'd be another plane going. You can't hear anything being said. So everyone made a joke about it. It's like, oh, no, the Star Destroyers are coming to get me. You know. And Ian McDermott said, oh, the Death Star is going to land and take me back home or something like that. It was really neat. And then afterwards, you know, when they got done doing their thing, they had a band come out. And just when they're starting to play A New Hope, you know, the 20th Century Fox comes in, the music starts playing. Well, the band starts playing the sound right there live in front of the crowd.
Oh, wow.
Which was really kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just, you're there.
Right.
And then they played the movie, and as they were playing the movie, we kind of went and got some, what Jeremy calls dirty street food. It's like just, basically just a fast food place around the corner, and, you know, came back, sat in the grass, and just watched the movie. And I tell you, it was like going to a drive-in, in a sense, if anybody remembers what those are like, because they don't have too many of those anymore. But we're sitting outside with all the fans, you know, and it's like we're really sort of bonding together. You're looking around, you see people of all different ages, kids with lightsabers swinging back and forth, people dressed up in costumes, parents, older people. And we're just like, we're all just sitting here enjoying the same thing. The weather was gorgeous. I mean, you couldn't ask for a nicer night.
Wow, that sounds pretty
really
cool.
Fun.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, so, and it was something completely different from any of the other opening ceremonies that we've been to.
Now, did you make it to the Battle of the Bands? Speaking of,
we did not make
bands.
It there.
Uh huh.
No, a lot of the evening events we missed it out on.
Because you were busy posting, right?
Well, we were trying to post some stuff. See, the hotel, I guess, had a limited. The actual hotel had a limited internet connection.
Oh, I see.
And I sort of made a joke a couple times, and I said, you know, as an internet reporter, what do you think would be the most critical element to do that job? what would you say, guys? What would you think would be the most important thing to have?
I'm going to go with the internet.
I will also go with internet.
Yeah, internet connection. That's a shoddy thing over there, apparently.
So the Wi-Fi really not good over there?
Well, not in the hotel. In the convention center, it was.
Mm. Oh, good.
Well, there's a story there, too. Boy, I'll tell you. The first day, we weren't going to have internet connection, and that was somewhat disheartening considering, you know, that's kind of what we do.
Right.
But we were able to find the media room, and it's a closet. You could fit five people, and then that's just about it. No air conditioning. But you can get Wi-Fi access, right?
Right.
Said, "Oh, this is fantastic."
So you were able you were able to set it up in the media room and get it elsewhere, or you had to be in the media room?
No, you had. Well, here's my original thought was that you had to be in the room. So for like 3 hours on Friday, I was in the room sweating like you wouldn't believe, posting stories to the site. Yeah, this is a real glamorous job. And then I went there Saturday morning, did the same thing. And then I went to the Force Unleashed panel, which I haven't written about yet. That's still coming. That was actually really, really cool.
Well, let me, if you don't mind, Dan, I do want to stop you there just for a second, because that was actually going to be the next thing that Pete and I were going to talk about. But this is great. Maybe you can give us a little scoop. You can give us some info. Of course, by the time this goes live, you'll probably have it written up. But what did you get from the panel? What did you get out of the panel?
Well... I think we can say this, but the guys at Lucasfilm that are working on this game, they have a motto. Okay? Let me just find my notes here real quick, because it's worth repeating. I want to get it exact. The motto of the game, which they apparently chanted every morning, is that our goal today is to kick ass with the Force. And this is what they showed a video of the guys just sitting around the table, and they just kept saying it. So that was really funny.
Well, but judging from the trailer, game, of course.
Well, yeah, you saw the new trailer.
Yes.
With the Star Destroyer?
Yes. Being force-pulled to the ground.
By Vader's secret apprentice. Which,
yeah.
The actor who was there, who portrays the secret apprentice, I forget his name offhand, but he was there as well. And he let a few things slip, which was really funny. They were kind of looking at him saying, dude, be quiet.
Do you remember what some of those things were?
Yes, I do, of course. Sam Wentworth, that was his name.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The one thing that, you know, I'm particularly interested in is that he confirmed that there will be a Force Unleashed Vader's Secret Apprentice action figure.
Oh.
So, yeah, that was, if you remember the last time I was on the show, that was one of the rumors that we had kind of heard about at Celebration 4.
Right.
Well, that's now confirmed by the guy who plays him. So
okay.
I would think he'd know.
He might.
Did some posing, right. Maybe.
Yeah. But one other thing that I found really interesting is that this is sort of like the storyline of the game is, what if Darth Vader raised Luke Skywalker? Right?
Yeah.
Now, this is sort of like a dark version of Luke, you know, growing up with the Sith. He's not quite a Sith, but, you know, he's dark Jedi, definitely has, you know, these massive powers, and, you know, Vader's training him, which is kind of a great thing in the
whole
story.
Yeah, it's a very cool twist. I mean, Dan, are we to kind of assume that Vader has been raising this apprentice since he was a child, or
that's what I believe they were saying. Yeah, So that says to me this is more towards Episode 4.
Yeah,
as far as timeline goes, they didn't come out and actually say it, but you'd have to think it would be around that time.
Right.
But it, at the same time, they've written in sort of an emotional storyline because he does have sort of a romance going with the Juno Eclipse. And she wasn't there, the actress who plays her, she wasn't there, but they showed her and they talked about it a little bit. They said, you know, obviously we don't want to give too much away, but, you know, it just looks really, really cool. And they talked about the, you know, how they do all the effects in the game and whatnot. But, of course, I'm more interested in like, the storyline. It's basically
right.
Vader and his apprentice hunting down the Jedi. And there were two questions that were asked is that, okay, so number one, if he's this secret apprentice, right, and he's all this powerful, how come the Emperor doesn't know about him?
Uh-huh.
Right?
So of course.
Powerful as Yoda, powerful as the Emperor, how does the Emperor not sense him?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that'll be answered in the game. They didn't want to get too far into that.
Uh-huh.
He's a secret.
right. Well, this would bring up another question, because if he works for Vader, why is he shown constantly fighting stormtroopers? And the answer to that is because Vader basically tells them, leave no witnesses. No witnesses.
Very cool.
Out all of them, right? Remember that line?
All of them.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes, all of them. Bam. So, yeah, very, very cool, and I'm stoked about it. So.
Well, you know, Dan, I'm as I've said on the show many times, I'm a terrible gamer. And what I'm hoping is, are they just going to have, like, a story mode so I can just, like, watch sort of all of the, you know, I just want to watch it. I'm going to have Pete come over and play it so that I can just watch it, because I want to know the story. I don't necessarily want to read a novel, per se, but I'd like to be able to watch the story unfold. Is there going to be anything, you know, for people like me?
Well, I don't know about this particular game, but I know in previous games, once you finish it, you can go back and watch the film introductions.
Oh, okay.
So we've done that with some of the past games, like Bounty Hunter and Battlefront and KOTOR. You know, you can go back and you can watch the clips over and over again.
Once you've gotten past
the
stage.
Play the game for the full experience, I guess.
Okay.
And maybe they'll have a novel for people like you.
Yeah, well, I said I don't necessarily want to watch or read a novel.
Yeah.
You know, I'm lazy. I want my Star Wars. I want it all visual.
I was saying that we are going to do an audio version of the novel as opposed to.
I kind of like the idea of just having you come over and I can watch you play.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So,
well, that might be one of the tie-ins. You know, there's a lot of tie-ins to this. It's going to be this big multimedia project.
Right. Well, we know that there's a figure line. We know that we can assume there's going to be a comic. We know there's going to be a book, a novelization. So I'll probably be covered.
There's a making of book that's going along with it.
Yeah.
I mean, probably other stuff too.
I mean, it truly is the next chapter in the saga. I mean, they make no bones about it. That's really what they're making. And
one of the things that they also said was that once you see the story and play the game, it really makes sense in the overall storyline. Like, there's certain things between the prequel trilogies and the classic trilogy that are different, and I guess this game, this project, will sort of address that and tell you why that is. Which is pretty vague, but
yeah, well,
I guess once you see it, it'll make sense.
Right. That sounds great. That sounds great. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. I wish that it was coming out earlier than spring of next year, but... You know, nonetheless, I mean,
it was
getting
supposed to, right?
Yeah, of course. But getting the game and getting Indiana Jones 4, I'd say that's making for a pretty good spring.
Yeah,
and depending on, you know, as Jay Shepard pointed out, depending on when you define spring, you know, it could be, we're talking maybe March, as early as March. So who knows? I don't think they have a release date yet, do they?
No, not yet. I would think March, April, around there would be
right.
Or maybe they'll just save me for May and just make it the 31st anniversary.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know, why not?
Right. Now, did you have a chance to see... you did see the Rick McCallum.
I didn't see that. Jeremy did.
Oh, Jeremy saw that. Okay, so it was Jeremy then that wrote that. He wrote a fantastic write-up at rebelscum.com. All about some of the things that McCallum... And McCallum's another guy that he spills the beans whenever he gets a chance, too.
Right. No, he's always entertaining. I didn't go to that one because I was, back at the booth.
Right, back sweating in the media room. But
well, at that point, I was able to stumble upon the fact that since I had my media credentials, it actually worked in the center.
Oh, okay.
So what we were told originally wouldn't happen actually was happening. So I was all set for the rest of the weekend.
Excellent. Excellent.
Of course, trying to update the site and shoot photo archive pictures with the crowd walking by, that's interesting.
Well, and how about Mark Hamill? Did you see him, other than the opening ceremonies?
Well, I did see him. Didn't actually get to meet him. And I can thank our buddies over at the Art of Ralph McQuarrie for that one.
Oh.
Yeah, Stan and Athena came over and picked me up, and they said, hey, we're going to go talk to Ralph. You want to come? I said, sure.
Wow.
Am I going to say no?
Yeah, right.
So we went over there and actually got to meet Anthony Daniels because they were right next to each other. Mark obviously had a very long line. and they wanted to have him, both of them, sign a book and make a little video that they're giving to Ralph.
Right.
Which I hope Ralph's not listening to the show before that actually happened. Yeah, so Stan came over and he said, "Hey, if you're interested, you know, come with us." So I said, "Okay, Jose, stay here for a little bit. I'll be right back." Went over, and unfortunately, at that time, Mark was way too busy to have us just kind of cut in line in front of everybody.
Right.
So he said, after like 5 o'clock, he'll come over to the McQuarrie booth. And from what I was told later on, that's what actually happened.
Oh, he did go. He did make it over then.
Yeah, and I'm sure Dan will come on the show and tell you all about that because that sounded like it was pretty cool.
Actually, they did send us a picture of that. Paul sent us a picture of that of
okay.
He and Athena and Stan
really cool
there out with Mark signing the book and everything. That's very cool. And I have to say, I will never doubt Athena again. She did tell me, if you come over to Europe, I will get you Mark Hamill. And it would have happened.
I have no doubt that's
right. She would have gotten it.
I remember her saying that.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
So
we'll never live it down.
She was great. Oh my God, she was just so nice, and she's like, I'll bring you over there. And then it was funny because she's like, well, do you have all your equipment? I'm like, equipment.
You're talking to the wrong guy, man.
Well, they know me through this show.
Uh-huh.
Right. So they thought I had all the recording equipment.
Right.
I'm the wrong guy for that one.
Well, it's a big Dan Curto world out there, outside of the Forcecast, beyond what you do here. All right, well, Dan, since we have you on the phone, I mean, we can't let you go without talking a little bit of the some of the news for the Hasbro collector. Pretty exciting with the poster. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it wasn't announced, obviously, that they were going to have this. This is going to be the same poster that they have at Comic-Con. Although usually in Comic-Con they give it to you flat and you can roll it up or whatever. But this was sort of, a surprise on Saturday. Came over to the booth and said hi to Gerald DePriest and Brian Wilk, who had given the presentation the day before, which I'll talk about that in a second. But the poster itself shows all 60 figures in the 30th anniversary collection, including the last six from Wave 8, which have never been seen before. In fact, let me pull it out right here. And if you guys haven't seen it, here they are. It's the Clone Trooper in training gear, or training fatigue, they call it, which is the red jumpsuit he had in Attack of the Clones when they were on Kamino. And it looks like the armor is a snap-on removable armor. Very, very cool looking. Padme Amidala in the black dress from the Fireside Chat. Jango Fett with a poncho. Looks like he's got partial removable armor. Vulfith Mon, the Clone Wars Jedi that actually won the contest. If you remember the Chef Boyardee contest from the Clone Wars, this is the character that won, and he's the last one to get the action figure made.
Amazing.
A Destroyer Droid and a Ralph McQuarrie concept level trooper.
Well, I'm looking at them all. Dan, the one question I have for you is, what do you make of the Destroyer Droid? Is that finally going to be, you know, one that's articulated in such a way that it'll roll up and stand up and do all the things we want?
No.
Oh.
I believe it's going to be a partial repack from one of these other droids, only this doesn't have the launching missiles that they've had in past years.
Yeah.
But it'll also have half of the energy shield.
Oh, okay.
So if you remember... pretty much any time he appeared, he had the big blue sort of translucent bubble over him.
Right.
It's going to come with that accessory. Now that accessory is not in the poster, but we'll probably see it.
So half of the energy shield. So if you buy two of these, you'll get the whole thing?
Well, that's the idea, but also, I mean, it half a shield in the sense that the other half would probably be on the ground.
Right. No, yeah, I got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. No, I do. I got you. I'm all but the Destroyer Droid are, I think, really exciting. I think the Clone Trooper in the training gear is fabulous. Padme in the Fireside Gown, I have to admit, when I first clicked on the image, I thought that it was Padme's mom.
yeah.
You know, from the deleted scene of episode 2. Well, Jango with the poncho is very cool, too. And you can put him right next to your Bobo with the poncho.
I'm told that one will change a little bit. The fabric that they're showing in the photo is not exactly what it's going to look like.
Oh, okay.
This one's a little too poofy.
Oh, really?
I hate a poofy Jango. I hate it.
Yeah, It's not quite right. In fact, some of the other figures on here are also a little bit different than how they're going to be in the final release.
Well, and if you're looking at the photos while you listen to the show here, you'll notice that Vulfith Mon doesn't quite look like he did in the animated Clone Wars series because, well, he's not animated. It's sort of the film version, the what-if film version of it. Although we may actually see him appear in the new animated Clone Wars series, which takes a little bit more realistic look at the characters.
But if you remember some of the other figures that are inspired by the Clone Wars cartoon, they're also done in a realistic style.
Right.
Rora Garab, Yoda with the Kaibuck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so it's just following. I don't think they're going to do much more with the animated style, but keep it all consistent with the realistic style that you know they've been doing for years.
Sure. Well, Dan, again, since we have you on the phone here, I've got to ask you about the latest news here out of Entertainment Earth and their 14-figure mystery set. We've got another Mandalorian here, Dredd Priest. Okay, is this the long-lost cousin of Hasbro marketing director Daryl DePriest?
Oh, I asked him the very same question.
Because I got to tell you, I may not be any EU savant, but I've never heard of Dread Priest.
Well, no, all of these characters in this particular set, and admittedly, not a lot has been revealed yet. They're not from any particular source.
Okay.
Take that for what you will. It's not based on a cartoon, comic, novel, anything yet.
I think I see where you might be going with this.
I don't really know anything more about it, to be honest.
Okay.
But what I do know is that we haven't seen all of the figures yet, obviously, and they're not all Mandalorians or clones.
Oh, really? They're not.
Right. Everyone we've seen so far has been, but I do know there's at least one droid in the mix.
Well,
you got to throw a droid in the mix.
Here's what
I
Entertainment
suppose I
Earth...
I reveal that. I won't get in trouble for telling you that one. But as far as the rest of them, I don't know. We'll find out next week, I guess.
Next week's the week? We're going to find out what all this means? Or we're just going to find out who the next one is?
No. Next week will be... what day is today? Wednesday? Yeah, this time next week, we will have the preview night at San Diego.
Oh, okay. All right, great. So will all 14
we'll
be revealed?
Yep. That's
all right.
The plan.
Excellent.
And
well,
hopefully I'll be able to corner Entertainment Earth and find out what the heck these things are.
Please do. Here's what we can tell you according to EntertainmentEarth.com. Dread Priest relishes the challenge of creating elite soldiers. Chosen by Django to be a training sergeant on Kamino, he forms a secret battle circle among his fellow sergeants in which they practice their training techniques in brutal competition. So it's like Star Wars Fight Club with Mandalorians.
Yeah. Here's an interesting weird thing that I noticed, right? So there's Jango Fett hires these guys, right? Yet
okay. They're
all Episode 3 troopers.
Ah.
So when exactly did Jango hire everybody? Considering the last time we saw Jango, they were all Episode 2 clone troopers.
Well, you know. And Princess Leia remembers her mom. So
that's
going to be my reply.
Here.
You know, anytime, let's not nitpick, okay?
Not muddy the waters only, any further.
Only images.
Right, stories. She was very sad and beautiful. much like Dread Priest.
Yes.
But,
well, Dan, getting back a little bit to Celebration Europe to kind of wrap things up, overall, You seem to be very positive about it, and I think if there was a Celebration Europe 2, sounds like you'd be willing to go.
Absolutely. I'd love to go back over there. One thing I regret is that due to circumstances beyond my control, JetBlue, I hate you. I got there a day after I was supposed to.
Oh.
So my flights were quite delayed, and... I didn't have time to actually see London, which I really would have liked to have done, because I know that the Thursday that I was supposed to arrive, Forbidden Planet had the whole debut of the Commander Bly minibust, and there was a lot of stuff going on in the city itself. But I would love to, I go all the way to London, and all I saw was the airport, the tube, the hotel, and the convention center, and that was it.
That sounds familiar. It's about how much I saw of L.A.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be nice to kind of, stay an extra day or two and just see the city. In fact, Stan and a couple of other people were like, oh, you've got to stay longer. Beyond my control at this point, but...
Well, like I said,
everybody was really nice, and we had unprecedented access to some of these booths, too. I mean, one of the companies, which we'll reveal in a couple of days, they let us take everything out of their showcase and shoot it live at the show.
Wow.
Which, who does that,
Right.
We'll see that coming up. We're going to build an entire photo archive of everything that we shot.
So look for that at rebelscum.com. And anything that really sticks out as the real highlight?
Well, there was one thing. There's a company called Top Trumps, which isn't really well known here in the U.S., but it's a card game in the UK that's been around for years, and it's very, very popular. we met with them, talked with them about doing some promotions, and they took us out on Sunday night. And I had the best time. I swear, that was like the highlight. Oh, we had a blast. Just, I mean, literally, after the show was over, we hung out in the bar, and everybody showed up. Celebrities showed up. Lucasfilm people showed up. Some of the companies showed up. I mean, it just all went to the same place because it's literally right across the street. So we met with the Hasbro folks. We met with the Top Trumps. We met with some of the guys from StarWars.com. You know, it was a lot of fun. And after a while, you start to see the same people over and over again. You know, when you go to these things.
Sure,
you
sure. Oh, yeah.
And everywhere you look, there's Steve. I don't know how he does it. There must be clones of him, I swear. You know, and it was just, it's fun because you start to recognize the people, and they start to recognize you, so you start to really get to know each other, which is kind of cool. And next week, we do it all again.
Right, San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah.
With Star Wars Day, and last week we ran down the whole, you know, the whole list of everything having to do with Star Wars that'll be presented at San Diego. It's great. Right. It's you're going to have your work cut out for you again, Dan.
Well, from what I'm told, the first 2 days are insanely busy, and then it starts to get a little slower as the days go by.
Right.
So I'm kind of hoping that's true, but it'll be my first Comic Con, and I'm actually looking more forward to this show than any other, because in another lifetime I was a comic book artist and I always wanted to go to this show.
And so, this is going to be your first one?
This will be my first time, yeah.
Oh, great. Good for you. Hey, did you catch Fanboys while you were there at Celebration
Europe? That's the thing. Oh. Yeah, what was that, Saturday night?
I think so.
I was dying to get into that, but again, since we're at the booth, we got stuck cleaning up. And by the time we got out, it was too late to get over to there because it was already like halfway over. So
you should have called me. I know people.
Sorry?
Said you should have called me. I know people.
Well, I wanted to see that really bad because I heard so many good things about it. And I missed it at C4.
Right. Well, you'll have your opportunity.
Bell is really cute, so I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Well, you'll definitely have your opportunity in January when the film comes out. But and I know that right. They'll be around for Comic Con now. Whether they're going to be playing the whole movie or not, I don't know. But or the rough cut, but we'll see what happens. Dan, can't thank you enough. All your coverage has been great. I told Pete, I said, you know, we've been living vicariously through you. We got kind of greedy with Celebration 4 because we got to experience it all firsthand. And thank you for not leaving us behind, like we tried to not leave anyone behind for Celebration 4 with Celebration Europe. Glad to have you back safe. Wishing you good luck and good traveling next week.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be a busy week, but, you know, that's what I enjoy. So
maybe we can get a little reporting action calling in here to the Forcecast from Comic-Con.
Of course.
All right. All right, Dan. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Well, what a show.
That's an incredible show, and I mean, I don't even feel like we were done.
Well, we weren't done. We didn't get to, again, another week. Well, this has just been weird. This whole summer is strange. But we didn't get to... we've got some great listener feedback. We didn't get a chance to get to it. We just had so much to cover. I want to thank Dan Curto for providing all the great coverage that he did for Celebration Europe. We wish we could have been there with him. Wish we could have seen our friends like Stan and John and Athena and Paul and...
The whole crew. I just,
yeah.
You know, and all of our UK listeners and Steve and everybody else that emails us on a regular basis. We wish we could have been over there to meet you guys over there. So
I could have proven to Steve that I'm really not a bad guy. But I don't, you know, begrudge the UK fans anything. I just wanted to.
That's right. You just want to be included. That's all.
No, I like getting those kinds of emails. You know, that way folks know that we take it all.
Yes.
Here at the Forcecast. So thank you to Steve. Again, if you want to be involved in the show, you can do so. Give us a call, 330-871-4TFN, or you can email us at podcast@theforce.net. If you have Skype, you can just Skype us at username ForceCast. Also, make sure you check those forums. Forum winners, your prizes are on the way, I promise. Anything else you want to mention, Pete? Oh, we got ForceCast merchandise over at Cafe
Press.
We got
the merch. We got the survey over there on our on the show post. Please fill that out, as we were talking earlier. That's important information. We want to hear what you guys have to say because we want to make the show better and better every week.
Yeah, I may or may not have show notes. Who knows?
It's a gamble.
It always is.
We should start a thread, you know, like betting to see who, you know, whether Jason gets them up or not.
What? Actually, maybe like, someone in the forums could take over the show
times.
Notes. That would be great.
Yeah, you know.
They're not doing anything over there, right?
No.
For the ForceCast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. It is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.